Isn't God good this morning? Amen. How many of you are glad to be here in church? Amen. Okay, come on. Jesus, who saved you from what you were heading into, amen. I think it's just good to be here. It's good to be here among God's people, worshiping and praising his name. Amen. Come on. Come on. Okay. Now I'm going to make you stand up right away again. Okay, so let's get started this morning by declaring what we believe about the Bible, God's word to us. So if you would stand with me, please. You already did. That's great. That's great. So if you would hold your Bible up towards heaven, or your phone, or your iPad, or whatever it might be. It doesn't matter. Are you ready?
Ready.
Now say this like you really mean it, okay? Okay. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I'll boldly confess, my mind is alert, my heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, let's go. Amen. Let's go. You can be seated. All right. What I would like to talk to you about this morning as we conclude our series, The Lord is My Shepherd, is yet another one of God's supernatural promises that he gives to you and I. How many of you are happy for the last 9 supernatural promises that we saw? All right? And that supernatural promise that I want to talk about today is that his goodness and his mercy will follow us. How long?
All
the days of our life. The title of the message today is, in this part 10, okay, is Remember, Respond, Repeat. Okay? Remember, respond, repeat. Are you with me? Are the rest of you with me?
Yes.
All right. Contrary to what you have probably heard or what the enemy has tried to get into you to believe, God only wants the very best for you at all times. Amen?
Amen.
God is good and all the time.
God is good.
To who?
Me.
To me. Amen. To me. Even when times of doubt appear in your life, and they will, and when you're drained of all your faith, God still, say still, God still remains faithful to his promise of goodness and mercy following you all the days of your life. Again, contrary to popular belief, he's not watching over your life waiting for you to mess up so that he can bring some kind of harsh correction into your life. Rather, he's watching over your life, amen. I'm glad he's watching over my life, yeah. He's watching over your life, looking and longing, if you will, to show mercy and find opportunities to bless you. I know that isn't always what you've been taught. That isn't always what you are going to hear, but it's the truth. The Bible says this in Isaiah 30:18 out of the Amplified Bible. It says, "And therefore the Lord earnestly waits, expecting, looking, and longing to be gracious to you." That's good news.
Amen.
"And therefore he lifts himself up, that he may have mercy on you and show loving kindness to you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed, happy, fortunate, and to be envied are all those who earnestly wait for him, who expect and look for and long for him, for his victory, his favor, his love, his peace, his joy, and his matchless, unbroken companionship." Amen. Amen. This principle is something that David truly understood about the Lord, which is what prompted him to conclude Psalm 23 with these words, okay, in Psalm 23:6. Surely, say surely.
Surely.
Don't call me Shirley, I'm sorry. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord, how much? How long? Forever. Okay. God, without a doubt, has great things planned for your life. And the more you believe it, the more you're going to receive it. And I want you to hear that. If you don't believe it, chances are you're not going to receive it. Amen? If you aren't looking for the goodness of God, you might not find it. All right? So believe in the goodness of God and receive the goodness of God. Let me ask you a couple of questions this morning. Do you really believe that God wants to bless you? Do you really believe that God wants to bless you? And do you really believe that God wants to shower mercy upon you? Do you believe that? Okay. Please join me in reading Psalm 23 for the last time during this series, all right? Are you ready? Read this with me. I know it's going to sound like a bunch of blah, 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 but read it with me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
You saw that, didn't you?
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. And then the scripture for today. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Serena, could you please come up and pray for the message?
Thank you, Father. God, we are awed to be in your presence today, to experience your power, your anointing, your word, your presence. God, there's no other place I'd rather be than in your presence, because in your presence there's fullness of joy and pleasures at your right hand forevermore. God,
yes,
your greatest heart's desire is to shine and shower and cover us and surround us with your favor.
Yes,
that's your greatest heart's desire. Father, may it be our greatest heart's desire to receive and walk in that favor. God, I thank you that today, God, we will hear your word, we will apply your word, and we will meditate on your word. Father, I thank you for the anointing that will break off every yoke of bondage, every ear that can't hear, every eye that can't see, God, that you are good. Open the eyes of our understanding and enlighten them to your truth today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Just like David, even though we don't like to admit it, all of us have moments of doubt in our walk with the Lord. We're familiar with what it says in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. We know that, but there's still times in our walk that we come to the place of doubting what God has said, whether it's we're not getting the answer to our prayers when we prayed them or in the timing that we thought we should. But we all experience times of doubt. And if we were to be honest with each other this morning, we have all had those times. We've all had those times when doubt tries to overcome our faith. Looking at Psalm 23:6, notice how David begins the verse with this word, surely, okay? Surely. There's something powerful about that word, surely, all right? When David says surely, there is no hesitation or uncertainty in David's voice. He is fully persuaded of God's forever promise to him, and that's this, that God's goodness and his mercy would follow him all the days of his life. David didn't say, maybe this is going to happen. He didn't say, only if I qualify. He doesn't say, perhaps, or, boy, I really hope that God's goodness and mercy would follow me all the days of my life. No, he declared definitely, certainly, absolutely, indisputably, undoubtedly, and unquestionably that the blessings of God and the mercy of God would always be his. Do you have that confidence in the Lord this morning to say the same thing that he said? Well, one thing's for sure, this is the very same promise that's available to you and I. I know it's tempting to wish that you had the kind of confidence that David had, to wish that you were just like him. And truly, sometimes we struggle with doubt, even though it's written in the Bible, okay? Even though it's written in the Bible. And it's tempting to think someone like David, especially after he wrote such a powerful psalm, that he was always on the mountaintop. He was always doing well. Or that he always had a perfect faith. But that wasn't the case. In fact, if we back up 10 psalms, we see David in a much less confident frame of mind. Listen to what he writes in Psalm 13, verses 1 through 3. How long, O Lord? Have you ever prayed that? You know, you've been praying for a long time. But he says, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God, and enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. I don't know. David doesn't sound quite so confident here, does he? He's not quite the confident man that you see writing Psalm 23. And I think we would all agree that it's wonderful when our faith is just soaring, right? And we feel energized and confident in God's word and in his promises. But if we were to be honest again this morning, please, there are times that we have this doubt and uncertainty that makes its way in. Thankfully, say thankfully. Thankfully, God is faithful to his promises, even when we are lacking in faith and we're struggling to trust him. You can say, no, I wouldn't, I'm not like that, Pastor West. No way. You know, God knows. Amen. He knows when you're struggling. He knows when you're having a hard time believing his word for what it says. I know we have a tendency to glorify biblical characters, and we put them on this pedestal, okay? When the truth is, they were all frail humans with flaws, lacking faith, just like we do. Amen? James confirms this when he wrote about the great prophet Elijah, okay? He wrote this in James 5:17 in the NLT. It says, Elijah was as human as we are. Just flat out. Elijah, okay, was as human as we are. This great prophet, he did great things, but he was just as human as we are. And if you read the story of Elijah, you're going to find that he was a powerful prophet, but he was also very moved by his emotions, even struggling at times with bouts of depression, deep depression. And we see this same humanness in David's life in the first few verses of Psalm 13. Yet notice something here. David didn't stay in doubt and discouragement. After his agonizing opening comments in the psalm, he began to transition back into faith, or what we might call the positive side of the equation. He said this in Psalm 13, 5 and 6, but I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Please hear me. Don't let your flesh, or don't let the enemy, if you will, or a well-meaning brother or sister in the Lord, amen? Come on. Condemn you when you are experiencing times of frustration or times of questioning and times of doubting. Say this with me. It's normal to do that. Come on. It's normal to do that. Say it with me. It's normal to do that. And if you don't believe that, it's true. It's normal to do that. When your feelings and your faith begin to sink, you have to turn your eyes back on Jesus and do your best to keep your eyes on him and continue to feed, always continue to feed on his word. Amen? Remember, Romans 10:17 says this, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He is your great shepherd. Hallelujah. And as you look to him and remember his goodness and his faithfulness, your faith will grow. Amen. Hear me now. It will grow, and your trust will increase and come back to where it should be. Do you remember the story about David and Ziklag? All right? Where the Amalekites took all the property, all their property and all the families of David and his men. What was David's response? All right? Now this is the honesty of David, all right? In 1 Samuel 36, 30 verse 6. Now David was greatly distressed. What do you mean he was distressed? He shouldn't be distressed. He's a man of faith, right? Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him. I would be a little bit upset too. Because the soul of all the people was grieved, and every man for his sons and his daughters. But listen to what it says next. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Glory to God. David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. What did he do? He gave himself a good talking to. Amen? He gave himself a good talking to. And I want you to know this morning, it's time for some of us to do the same thing, to give ourselves a good talking to remember what the goodness of God is like, to remember it and to respond, amen, and to repeat. Because that repeating of the word of God to your soul is what will change your soul. It'll change your outlook, and it'll change your attitude. Come on, amen? Amen. As we've seen through this whole series, David was no stranger to trials and life-threatening situations. And although he had many spiritual highs, we've read about those, we've talked about those, he also experienced a number of spiritual lows. One of these moments of desperation took place when he wrote Psalm 103. God only knows what he was walking through at this time. In any case, in the midst of his hopeless circumstances, have any of you been there where it just looks hopeless? Yes. Amen. It just doesn't look like there's any hope at all anywhere, any way that you look. He began to speak to his own soul, and he said this, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." That's like, hey, Wes, bless the Lord, Wes. Come on. David was saying it to himself. Bless the Lord, David. Come on. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. And I know that you might be familiar with this portion of Scripture, but don't rush past it, because we have this habit of rushing past Scriptures that we know, and we just kind of just go by them and don't get anything out of it. Because if you do that, you're going to miss something extremely important about this verse. In this verse, and in the verse that follows, David is giving himself a major pep talk. Okay, nobody else is doing it. Come on. The pastor isn't doing it. Hello. Your friends aren't doing it. Nobody's giving you the major pep talk. You have to give yourself the major pep talk. Amen. You have to give yourself the pep talk. All right. He actually was speaking to his own soul, to his own mind, to his will, and to his emotions, and telling himself, snap out of this. Snap out of this doubt-filled, depressing spiral where he found himself, and begin to focus again on the goodness of God. You see, there are times when we have to remind ourselves of God's goodness to regain a hold on our faith. He went on to say in verses 2 through 4, he said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases." How many?
All
your diseases. "Who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies." You know, apparently David was being tempted to forget the benefits of serving the Lord. So he reminded himself of the great things there was about serving God. Things like God's power to heal, and God's amazing forgiveness. In verse 3, where David talks about forgiveness, the word forgiveness carries the idea of permanently dismissing. All right? And you think about that. It's permanently dismissing or sending something away without ever exercising the right to retrieve it again. That is what God does with the sins that are in your life when you ask him to forgive you. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. He never even exercises the right to go back and look at those. It's done with. It's over with. They're as far as the east is from the west. And then David goes on to say in Psalm 103, 5 through 8, he says, "Who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger." Boy, I am so glad he's slow to anger. Amen. "He's slow to anger and abounding." All right, abounding in mercy. That means he's got more than enough, like we talked last week. He's the more than enough God. Aren't you grateful this morning that God desires to satisfy you with good things like food to eat and clothes to wear, like a roof over your head? Amen. Aren't you glad that he is merciful and gracious and slow to anger? Where would we be? And you have to ask yourself, where would I be without the goodness and the mercy of God that's going to follow me all the days of my life? Glory be to God. And the thing is, it's even when he is upset with us, okay? David said this in verses 9 through 12. "He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. Thank God." Amen. "For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him, as far as the east is from the west." Wow. Who are the blessings of God for? Who are they for? Yeah, they're for me. Say it. They're for me. Not Pastor West. They're for me. They're for you. They're for everyone who serves him and obeys his commandments and keeps his covenant, including our children and our grandchildren. Just think of all the benefits the Lord gives to you as you obey him and live in relationship to him and with him. Sometimes I think we get so used to being Christians. We get so used to just going to church on Sunday and then going to the workplace on Monday that we don't even think about what we have in Christ. We don't even include God in anything more than our prayer time if we have that. And we shut the door to that prayer closet and we never think about him again until the next day when we step into that prayer closet again. But listen to this. He provides forgiveness for all of your sins and healing from all your diseases in verse 3 of Psalm 103. Redemption from destruction and loving kindness and tender mercies in verse 4. A life that is satisfied with good things and your youth renewed like eagles is in verse 5. Now listen to this. In verse 6, he provides righteousness and justice. And in verse 8, he provides mercy and grace. Glory be to God. He provides patience in verse 10. And forbearance and forgiveness in verse 11. In verse 12, he forgets and removes your sins, okay? And he gives you compassion and pity in verse 13. He has understanding of your human condition in verse 14. And finally, in verse 18, he is faithful. How many of you are happy this morning? He is faithful to his covenant. Amen. Amen. When David was overwhelmed by the challenging circumstances he was facing, he forgot all these wonderful blessings from the Lord. But to lift his spirit, he began to remind himself of all these things. And then he began to rehearse them out loud. And then he began to repeat them over and over to himself because his soul had to hear them. And once they heard them, then he could respond to God with a heart of praise. When you don't know if you can praise, when you know somebody, nothing bothers me more when I'm in a bad mood and things are going bad when somebody tells me, well, why don't you go praise the Lord? They're right. I just don't want to hear it, okay? But the truth is, once you start remembering what he's done for you, once you start repeating those things into your mind and into your soul, into your heart and who you are, once you start doing these things, okay, you can actually respond to God once again with a heart of praise when you're not getting the answer to that prayer that you need the answer to. When things aren't going exactly like you want them to go, you have to remember. Say, I have to remember. You have to remember. Remembering is a huge part of serving the Lord. Remember that he's gracious to you. Remember that he's forgiven you. Remember that anything you need, he has for you. And remember this, he has more than enough. Amen? He doesn't run short on forgiveness. He never runs short on power. He doesn't have a problem with giving you exactly what you need. But there are teachings out there that tell you and I that if we run into a struggle, it's from God. And I am really sorry, but I don't read that in my Bible. I mean, we're going to run into those struggles and we're going to have those problems. And God sees us through all of those problems because he's never short on problem solving. Amen? And why in the world would he give us the sickness or the hard time and then deliver us out of the sickness in the hard time? He doesn't. That's right, he doesn't. When David was overwhelmed, all right, by the challenging circumstances that he was facing, okay, he began to repeat the word of God to himself. He began to talk about how God had just worked in his life. How many of you here today would have to say, God has really worked in my life? I think about when I got saved, there was no way. That had to be God working in my life, okay? And a lot of you are the same way. You were so far from God, just seemed like there was no way that he could ever get your attention, let alone get you saved. Thank you, Lord. Serena says, thank you, Lord. And that brings us back to Psalm 23:6, okay? In David's confident declaration of surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David emphatically, okay, and without question, envisioned and believed that two things would follow him all the days of life. And you know what that is? God's goodness and God's mercy. Okay? What's interesting here is that the original Hebrew meaning of the word follow literally means to hunt down just like a hunter tracks down an animal. Now think about that. Just think about that. Those things are going to, God's goodness and God's mercy, those things are going to hunt you down just like a hunter tracks down an animal. Okay? It's like the verse in the Bible says that blessings will overtake you. You know what I mean? They're just out there and they're coming from God and they will overtake you. Doesn't that make you excited this morning? When things are down, when you're feeling low, you can count on one thing for sure, that God is for you and not against you. And all these teachings that you have received to tell you that God's just waiting for me to do something wrong and then he's going to get me, or God's just waiting for things to go good and then he's going to slam me with a hard time because he's trying to teach me something. No, God will teach you something out of the hard times that you go through, but he does not bring them. Amen? Well, I don't get too many amens out of that. Amen?
Amen.
David knew his connection with the Lord was a forever relationship. And thank God for you and I, it's a forever relationship. He knew he would spend all of eternity with his good shepherd. But that didn't mean that he was always full of faith or never down and depressed. It didn't mean that at all. But David realized that there were times when he had to encourage himself in the Lord and remember his blessings and remember his goodness and God's mercy. This morning, you and I can take a lesson from David's life. You know when that person comes up to you and tells you, well, you should worship? Should be 10 times out of 10 that worship song is repeating the blessings of God in your life. Do you understand what I mean? Take any worship song. It talks about how good God is. Amen. And when you hear how good God is, it lifts you. Amen. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, for depression, for oppression, for that that's making you feel terrible. Begin to worship. Why? Because the word of God will begin to be spoken into you. And in that time, you should remind yourself, hey, Wes, bless the Lord. I don't care what you're going, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. I don't care what I'm going through. I'm going to talk about that God loves me, amen, with a never-ending love, with an agape love, a decided love that will not go away, amen? That will not go away. And the lesson that we can take from David's life when we're feeling faithless and when we're doubting God's goodness and his mercy, because I know that all of you do, and I know there's times when I do. We need to remember and then repeat God's unfailing promises to you and I. Amen?
Amen.
Repeat this funeral psalm, Psalm 23, and all the good things that he has in store for you. God was in it for the long haul, okay, with David. He was. And the same is true for each one of us. We're in a forever relationship unless you walk away. We're in a forever relationship with the creator of heaven and earth, and we will spend all of eternity with the Lord, who is also not only David's good shepherd, but he's our good shepherd. Amen? The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is whose shepherd?
Mine.
What's that?
Mine.
The Lord is what?
Mine.
My shepherd. Glory to God. Glory to God. Are you with me? Do you understand here that we have got to begin to act like we're with God all the time, because those times that we aren't really in fellowship with God are those times when the enemy can attack you, and in those times that the enemy attacks you, you have to begin to speak the word of God, because it will remind you, and as you repeat it, it'll restore you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And that's the end of our The Lord is My Shepherd series. Okay? Why don't you bow your heads with me? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that surely goodness and mercy will follow me. It will hunt me down. It will track me down, just like a hunter tracks down an animal. Thank you that God will hunt me down. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I know it's always just so good to hear sermons that tell us what to do, but Lord, I pray this morning that those who have heard this will actually try it and do it and find out that it's true. That when that Monday rolls around, they can look back at what you've done in their lives, how you've encouraged them, how you've helped them, how you've empowered them to get through situations, to get through trials and tests. I thank you, Lord, that temptation never comes from you. Thank you, Lord. And I pray right now that each one that has heard my voice, that this sermon would echo in their ears, and that they would begin to say, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. And forget not all of his benefits." I pray that each one of us would take a step out of the darkness that the enemy would want to put us in, and a step back into the light as we speak the word of God. In Jesus' name.